Once you see what you actually are, that you're an infinite, limitless being, you'll see that nothing exists outside of you. I'm your host, Derek Grant, and this is the Pathway to Your Results podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pathway to Results podcast. It is your boy, DG. I told you we were going to do a part two. Here we are. I guess we can go ahead and go right from the beginning, right? Right. So this episode, I'm really going to break down plant medicine and why plant medicine is powerful, but plant medicine is not the end all be all. And I'm going to dispel the notion around that Westerners have that it's going to fix me, that it's going to help me with this, this, and this. I'm going to really, you know me, I'm going to shoot you straight. Okay. So I told you all when me and Carly were having this ceremony, like I was having a completely different experience than her. You know, she was having her healing, you know, she was going through, I was having a conversation with what we would call the universe, the soul. It was the best way to put it is like, I was having a conversation and interaction with the soul of this universe. This universe is nothing more than a soul. It's like you are, it's like awareness. It's just a living, breathing entity that is us. I can't even like put into words. Words can't articulate it. But when we went to this beach and we went down there and we were just like, me and Carly were having this moment, you know, of just pure oneness. There was actually a stump that had washed up, and I went and touched the stump and closed my eyes. And the stump said, I've been all around the world. I've been everywhere. And this is the place that I settled, but I've seen everything. And what this plant medicine allowed us to do was to really turn off our egos, turn off our minds, get rid of space and time. And I remember at one point when I was feeling this jubilation, this joy, I felt, and I remember like, this is what supreme presence feels like. This is presence. I wasn't worried and thinking about, I wasn't thinking about it. It was just isness. It was just isness. That's all it was. So, you know, we had gotten to a point where we were both coherent enough, like, okay, we can get out of here. Carly was feeling better. I was like, you know, so I thought the ayahuasca was wearing off, and it's like, okay, let's go ahead and head back. It's getting dark. We're in the middle of the woods, and we start packing up and making this trek through the woods back to this gravel road. And it was like we were turning back to civilization, but the only civilization was this cab that was waiting for us. And we hop in the cab, and we got to drive about 40, 35 minutes back in town. But it was a Saturday evening, and we're going down this one road, and there's all these bars and clubs and everything. And it's this music, the loudness. It was literally like we were like taking out of the womb of the universe. And then I would imagine this is what it's like when a baby's born. It's quiet. It's comforting. It's still. And then you go into this world where it's bright and it's loud. And it was overwhelming. And I remember we stopped. We were sitting in traffic. And I looked at a young lady who was like the hostess at a bar or a club. And she was just standing there. She had no idea that I could even see her. I'm just sitting in the cabin. I'm looking at her. And I could start to feel what she felt. I could start to feel her fears, her insecurities. And a guy passed by on a moped, and I said, oh, he feels insecure. And I started to feel nauseous. I had to put my head down because I couldn't look at people because I thought I was feeling their energy. So we finally get back to the hotel. And Carly's like, we gotta eat something. We gotta eat. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I haven't eaten all day. And she was feeling good, like she could eat. I was still feeling kind of nauseous. I'm like, all right, let's go get something to eat. And we order some fruit and some guacamole. And we take it back to the room, and we're just sitting there. I'm like, I can't eat. Now, I've done, you know, psilocybin before, so I know that when it's wearing off. But it's like, this is like starting to like, it's not wearing off. It's doing the opposite thing. It's like turning up on me. And I'm like, what is going on here? Why is it doing this? So I'm trying to eat some pineapple. I'm trying to eat some banana, and I can't eat it. I'm like, I told Carly, I'm like, I gotta take a shower and lay down. And mind you, by this time, it's probably like 9 o'clock. Ceremony started at like 1:45. So I get in the shower, and I can barely stand up. And I'm like, I told Carly, I'm like, I gotta lay down. So I go lay down, and I'm laying on my right side now, and I start to feel nauseous. And I told you in the last episode, when you close your eyes versus having them open, a completely different experience. I'm laying there, I close my eyes, and then she came. She came, and her energy was the same energy. I don't know if you have kids. Have you ever seen the movie, the show on Disney called Lion Guard, where basically this Lion King Simba, it's his son Kayan, and you know he's the one who rules over the Pride Lands, but it's called the Lion Guard. And there was an episode where he met this what's called a Binturong, or what's called a Bearcat, Cincinnati Bearcats. Yeah, it's called a Binturong. But this character in the show, her name was Mama Binturong, and she was basically this old raspy voice who made all the other animals go and get her these flowers they called Taliza, where basically Taliza was what she got high off of. So she would make them go out and get Taliza. But Mother Aya presented her energy in the form of Mama Binturong, this voice. Mama Binturong talks like this. Go and get my Taliza right now. And this is how Mother Aya came to me. And she says to me, I'm laying on my side. She goes, are you ready yet? I'm like, yeah, ready for what? She said, are you ready to face your fears? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. She goes, then act like it. And I see this vision of this huge, it's like a boa constrictor mixed with an anaconda, mixed with a python, the biggest, thickest, girthiest blue snake. And it's like coiled up and wrapping herself around it. I can't see the head. And she's like, grab it. Grab it. And I started to feel nauseous. Every time I looked at the snake and I tried to grab it, I would feel nauseous. And I started to realize, oh my goodness, this snake is my fears. When I was in the jungle, I was told my fears were fear of not being good enough, fear of not having enough, fear of not doing enough. Good God Almighty, here we go. And this snake was the fears. It was the visionary. It was the visual representation of my fears. And she was saying, grab the snake. Grab your fears. Grab them motherfuckers by the tail. Grab them by the tail. Go after them. And every time I would try to grab it, I would feel nauseous and I would stop because I didn't want to throw up because I was afraid of throwing up. So when we start understanding, every time we use plant medicine or any time we throw up for that matter, it is not necessarily the physical thing. It's the mental thing behind it. So you look at when you get drunk and you throw up. No, it's not about getting drunk. That's not the alcohol that's making you throw up. It was the mental energy of you, why you were even getting drunk to begin with. That's what's coming up. That's what's dying. So I mind you, I had not eaten all day and I'm getting nauseous. I'm like, oh my gosh. It had been 5 or 6 hours since I drank the ayahuasca. What is going on? Like, what? She's like, grab it. Now, when we were in the jungle, Jesus, the shaman, had given us water. And he said, drink this when you start to feel nauseous. Carly drank hers, and that's when she threw up. I didn't drink my water. I was too afraid to throw up. So I didn't drink it. So I'm laying there on my side in the hotel, and I'm like, oh my gosh. She's like, grab the snake. And she asked me again, do you want to get rid of your fears? I said, yes. She said, then act like it. I'm like, okay. I know what I have to do. So I tell Carly, I'm like, I need a cup of water. I need a glass of water. She gets the glass of water. I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to chug this water. I'm going to chug it. I'm going to throw up. I'm walking to the bathroom by about 10 steps. And she's coming behind me with the cup. And as soon as I step foot in the bathroom, this dark, sinister, symphonic, it was like an orchestra. This music starts playing. Like just like Beethoven on like with anger. And she screams, death. And I start to throw up. And hear me when I say this, I was throwing up like I had never thrown up before. This was coming from my soul. This was coming from my soul. I had nothing in my stomach. It was coming from the soul, from my intestines. It was coming up from places I'm like, I've never thrown up like this. And as it was coming up, I was saying inside, die, die, die. Because I knew I was killing the part of me that lived in fear. And when Mother Ayas had said death, she was saying, this is the end. This is the end. You're dying. And I had one last just dry heave, just one last hurl of my body, and nothing came out. And it was like, and she slammed a book and the ceremony was done. And I felt completely normal back in my body. And I told Carly, I said, come here. She came in. And she's like, you're normal again. I said, yeah, it's done. It's finished. I died. It had been put to rest. I grabbed the snake. I grabbed it. And that just the violence of me throwing up was grabbing the snake that had rooted itself in my gut. Think about when you feel fear, where you feel that. You feel it in your gut. You feel it in your abdomen. This is where the fear is hiding. This is where the energy was. The energy presented itself in the form of a blue snake. I know that blue represents the energy of your chakra, your throat chakra. I can speak my life now. I can tell you exactly my truth. This is what this was. I was afraid to, because I was afraid I wasn't going to be enough. I was afraid, what are going to people think? I was afraid, what is my family going to... And this was the killing off of it. But this snake was so powerful, so I thought. But then I realized this snake was running from me. It was running from me. This is what fear does. We usually run from fear, but when you turn around and you look fear in the face, you'll see that fear starts to run from you. So just as afraid of you as you were of the fear, as just as afraid of you that you were afraid of the snake, that snake was just as afraid of you. The question is, can you grab the snake by the fear, by the tail? That was the question. So when Mother Aya presented me and said, do you want to overcome your fear? Just simply ask the question. This is why questions were so powerful. Yes, I do. Then act like it. You want that new job? Then act like it. You want that new house? Then act like it. You want that money in your bank account? Then act like it. And this is where you're going to have to be accountable. You're going to have to look yourself in the mirror and say, am I really acting like it, or am I faking the funk on a nasty dunk? If I'm faking the funk, that's because there's fear. There's a snake. How big is that snake? Is it an anaconda? Is it blue or is it red? Is it yellow? What color is that snake? What color is that fear? How big is the snake? The reason why I have to say that is because we all got snakes, all of us. The question is, how big is that motherfucker? You got a 15-foot python? You got the little 3-foot garter snake. I have to say this to you because the next morning, I went to bed. I woke up the next morning. I'm still exhausted, tired, right? I said, make sure that you integrate. We had another ceremony planned that day. I said, well, no, we're good. I see what the whole point of this was. Here's why I'm saying this, because your energy levels are just crazy low. Walking up 8 steps was exhausting because there's so many parts of you that had to die. But the next morning, we woke up. We had a little bit of breakfast, and I was tired, and I went back and took a nap. And I closed my eyes, and Mother Aya was still there. And she's like, look. And there was all these little blue snakes. Little blue snakes. Like those little snakes off of the desert level on Super Mario 2, level 2. The little red snakes that would jump up out of the sand, and they would spit little black things. They looked like that, but they were blue. She said, look at all of them. I said, oh, no, these are the fears. She says, yes, these are the programs. These are the programs that will still keep running. I started to feel fear of, did we make enough today? Is there enough coming in? What if we, all of these fears were rooted back to those three things. Are you good enough? Do you have enough? Are you doing enough? The programs were still there. And I said, oh, and in this vision, I was able to grab those snakes. So why am I telling you this? Because I have to dispel this Western myth of thinking that plant medicine was going to fix you. That plant medicine alone was going to heal you. Plant medicine wasn't going to heal you. All it was going to do was show you the tools that you already had. That's all it does. That's all Mother Aya does. You, though, have to do something that we don't do sometimes that we call integration. So the analogy I'll give you is imagine this. You want to go to the NBA. You have to train. You got to train, right? You got to train. You got to work out. You got to do all these things. I'm doing all these drills. Yeah, I'm working with my trainer. All those drills mean nothing if you can't do it in a game. You can do all the work, the shadow work, the plant medicine, do all this stuff. It don't mean nothing if you can't apply it and integrate it into your everyday life. I could go sit on the side of a mountain in the Himalayas, but I'm not integrating. We chose to have this human experience. So what good is it if I have all of this spiritual understanding and this mindfulness and all this and these psychedelic experiences and I understand the universe, but then here I am, I'm looking at somebody else, judging them, I'm cussing them out, I'm creating separation. I'm living in the complete opposite nature of what I know that reality actually is. This is where integration comes in. And what is integration? Integration just means conscious action. So you can do all the plant medicine ceremonies all you want. You can go, you can do every plant medicine in the world. Matter of fact, you can have, you can put Mother Aya in your favorites on your phone. You can text her all you want. You can have a relationship. You can do all that, but it won't mean anything if you don't integrate it. And this was the takeaway. Integration is everything. So that's why I didn't need to go back for the second ceremony, because I had to integrate what I had learned from the first one. You dig what I'm saying? It's like I'm over here learning new drills, getting new techniques, getting new moves, getting ready to play in a game. I can't learn new moves before I play. I got to make sure that I know how to do these moves first. Do you see how this works? So you can read everything all you want. Read all the books. I got over 350, 400 books. Them books don't mean anything if I can't integrate them into my life. It's just knowledge. Knowledge is just experience. It's when you combine them with intellect, with the conscious action. That is when you become the Almighty, the Absolute, the All, in the form of this physical vessel, whatever your name is. So, I'm going to break down some stuff that I have here for my notes so you can understand. Little recap. Okay. Fear is the number one thing that doesn't serve anyone. And it's rooted in the fear of not having enough, the fear of not being enough, the fear of not doing enough. You know why you wanted those people of approval? You know why you were a people pleaser? Because of the fear of not being enough. You know why you really wanted that big ass house? Why you want all that money? You know why? Because the fear of not having enough. Everything will always be rooted to these three things. You know why you felt that the abandonment, you struggle with the abandonment? Because of the shame that you feel. No, it's the fear of feeling shame. When you accept that I am shameful, or you accept there is no there's no energy behind it anymore, it's like someone calling you a loser. If someone calls you a loser, oh, look at you, you loser, and you just accept it because I don't have a fear of being a loser, that has no power over you anymore. Do you see what this is? It was fear that was stopping us. So if you can overcome your fears, the funnel to shame and guilt will not even exist. Good God Almighty. Shame will not exist without the fear of it. This, my friends, is what we call supreme acceptance. When I have dealt with my fears, meaning I have grabbed the snake by the tail, I stop running from it. I ask, do you want to overcome it? Yes. Then mother, you better act like it. And when I walk into that energy, the funnel has been cut off to shame. I have no fear of feeling shame, so therefore shame does not exist. I have no fear of being broke, so therefore poverty does not exist. I have no fear of being not good enough anymore, so therefore abandonment does not exist. Do you see how this works? So as we talk about healing, I said, what is healing? What is healing? It said healing is the remembrance of your divine nature. That's what it means to heal. When you're healing, you're remembering your divine nature, meaning you're getting rid of your fears. Fears are the only thing that kept you from remembering your divine nature. And then it told me health is divinity. Oh, I got to get healthy. Every time that you're getting healthy, whether it's through food, whether it's through working out, this is divine. Do we see how this works? So this is where being intentional with life comes in. Willpower. And willpower equals intention. Willpower is the directive force of your thinking. When you can set the intention, now you can say what it is that you want. And we use, by what we're saying, what it is, what we want, to figure out how much fear there is. So you say, oh, I want the new house. Okay, if you want a new house, then act like it. Ah, my actions are showing that I don't really want a new house because I'm afraid to pay these bills. I'm afraid to do this. So you really don't want it that big. You don't want that new house. So now if you're living in fear, we can see by how much you're acting like it, versus what your intention is? Is there congruency? Meaning, is there a heart-brain coherence? Here's what else I was told. The mirror of life will only reflect the present, never the future. So every time that you set an intention, this was the act of you looking into the mirror of life. When you set the intention saying, this is what I want, and then I act like it, now you're being it in the mirror, and the mirror of life has to reflect whatever it is in the present moment. Good God Almighty, you ain't trying to hear nothing I'm saying right now. So I act like I'm the MVP, because I got rid of the fears of if I didn't become the MVP. I got rid of those fears, so I am the MVP. I am the MVP, and I'm acting like it. This is what the MVP does. This is how he walks. This is how he talks. You see what I'm saying? So now the mirror of life has no point, has no choice but to reflect that. That's all it's going to do. It's just a reflection. I'm walking into that energy. Do you see how this works? But let's not look at fear as something as negative or bad. Fear was what I was told was nothing more than the forgetfulness of the inner child of this universe. So this was what my ceremony was in the jungle. I was one with the inner child of the universe who I so affectionately named Ponyo. I was experiencing the inner child. And just like your children at home, they forget to wash their, brush their teeth. They forget to make up their bed. They forget to do, they forget. So every time that we feel fear, this is just the inner child of the universe forgetting what it was through us. This is why every time we heal our inner child, we remember. It remembers. And here's what else it told me. No one else can live your life or tell you how to live it. You're the one. You're the one. You decide. You can create and do anything that you please. Anything. Anything. As long as you're not doing it from fear. Fear was the unawareness. So, plant medicine's not going to get rid of the programs, the fears. It's not going to get rid of it. They're still going to be there, literally, the next day they were there. They're still there. Because they're just programs. That's all they are. The program's been running for a long time. But here's the beauty of it. We have the ability to integrate. We have the ability to take conscious action. We have the ability to remind ourselves. What does it say in the Bible? Be ye transformed. Good God Almighty, you're only trying to hear me. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about on the episode before that death was nothing more than transformation. So every time that you die, there's a transformation. It's telling you, be ye transformed, meaning when you die, you're going to be renewed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to be the mind, meaning you're going to have to consciously integrate. I'm going to have to consciously take what I learned in this ceremony and now integrate it into life. Little stuff. What does that look like? Going to the gym. Going to the gym this morning. I wanted to use that machine, but I didn't know if he was on that machine. What I used to do is just walk, okay, I'll go find another machine. I go do something. No, now I go, hey, are you on this? The reason why I wouldn't ask, oh, the fear of, I don't know, am I good enough? It was fear. Do you see? But now I know that that's just a little blue snake. I got to grab that motherfucker by the head. Now I can, I'm integrating it into life. So guess what? Hey, yo, you using this? No, I'm not using it. Okay, cool. Thanks, man. Keep moving. When you start to see that fear is the only thing that's stopping you, you got to find that snake. You got to find it. You got to grab it. So I'm going to leave you with this. When I went down to the beach, I told you it was a beautiful beach. There was pollution that had washed up on the shore, like bottles and stuff like that. Humans clearly had done it. And I said, oh, no, this is so sad. This is so sad that humans are doing this. And the universe, Ponyo, this energy says, it's okay. You humans are the only one who make a big deal about it. That'll stick with me for the rest of life. We're the only ones who make a big deal about things. We're the only ones who make it harder than what it has to be. It's us. It's you. So, I'm taking some folks on plant medicine retreat here in June at Tulum that will be healing nonetheless. Healing to say the least, sorry. Healing is great. The plant medicine will do its job. The we have a job to do when we get done. So I'm just telling you right now, in 2025, I know people keep asking me, are you doing any more? Are you doing any more? Yeah, I'm going to do a lot more plant medicine ceremonies, a lot more retreats. Yeah. Go ahead and start saving up if you really want to go. If you want to go, start acting like it. Go ahead and start putting some money away every month so you get ready for 2025. So when it drops, we'll be ready. You'll be ready to roll. I know what I'm here to do. I'm here to help you remember what you're here to do. As always, I just want to tell you thank you. I just want to tell you that I genuinely love you and I care for you and I'm grateful for you. I just want to tell you thank you for your support. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for continuing on your journey. And as always, I wish you nothing but the best on the pathway to your results.